Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. But guess what? Heard all across the world wide web. Hey, dolls. Hey, gents. Thank you so much for checking us out here for another amazing show. Hello to those that are coming in from Twitter and Facebook and, of course, Charvette.com and iTunes and Alexa devices and my mobile app and our broadcast stations. We appreciate you here. You know, the goal of the show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And that's exactly what we're going to do today with both of our guests. And so we're going to be starting the top of the hour out with a dynamic young lady that is hanging out in the virtual green room. She's ready to jump up to the mic any moment now. We're going to be talking to Michelle. Mickey Jones is coming to the mic. We're excited to have her. Michelle is an executive assistant, author, and speaker. She is the founder of Being My Sister's Keeper and Living with Lupus 365, and we're really, really excited that she is here today to chat about her chapter in the best-selling book, Unchained, My Legacy, new release, already on the bestseller list, Unchained, My Legacy. We're going to be talking to Michelle about her chapter, Monster in Their Eyes. Woo! And listen, she's also an author of The Poetry of My Life and Lupus 365, A Journey Through Life, the journal, and she's working on another poetry book. So we've got tons to talk about with Michelle Mickey Jones when she comes up to the mic. And then we want you to hang around because our second segment is what I like to call Influential Women in Ministry segment, and I've had the opportunity to interview all kinds of women in ministry, like Dr. Medina Pullings, Dr. Cindy Trim, Chief Apostle Olive C. Brown, oh my goodness, Lady Wasiola Evans, Co-Pastor Susie Owens, the list goes on. And so today is another segment of Influential Women in Ministry, and we're going to be talking to Assistant Pastor Roz Brown is joining us in the second segment. She's Assistant Pastor for New Jerusalem International Christian Ministries, and her official installation service is this coming Saturday. However, she's well-known, well-traveled as a speaker, as an evangelist, as a psalmist, and so we're just going to get behind the scenes with Assistant Pastor Roz in our second segment with Influential Women in Ministry. So go ahead, jump on social media, tell them what you're checking out, tell them what you're listening to, and say, hey, you should jump over to Charvette.com and check out today's show. And so, listen, I'm excited to bring Michelle Mickey Jones up to the mic. You know how I do. I like to sneak and look at people's Facebook pages, and she posted something. She said, are you ready to just let it go? The hurt, pain, anger, and resentment of the past. Are you ready to say yes and to say yes to you? Wow, that's enough to whet your appetite. Let me bring Michelle up to the mic live on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're excited to have you. Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you, Ms. Charvette. Thank you to your audience all over the world wide web. I'm glad to
yes.
be here.
Yes. Oh, we are excited to have you and to jump in and this author spotlight and kind of get behind the scenes, you know, about you. And so certainly as an author, I want to start with the poetry side. So author of The Poetry of My Life, when did you first know that you could write poetry? Because that's not the easiest thing to write, I don't think.
No, it's not. I actually have two poetry books. The Poetry of My Life was the first compilation, and I think I was about maybe 10 or 12 years old when I started writing. Writing became my release, and I just sat down with a notebook, you know, one of them spiral notebooks, one of those black and white composition books. And next thing you know, it was full, and I was moving on to the next one. So it was about 10 years old when I started, actually.
And so at what point did you say, okay, I'm writing, I can fill up these composition books like the back of my hand. At what point did you say, okay, I need to actually publish a book? I need to put this in a book.
Wow. Okay, that's a funny story. Now, that involves Miss Audra Upchurch. So she's in my life, like, all over the place. We were out running one day. We were running. Yes, we were running. She was training for a marathon or coming off the training of a marathon. And, you know, it was just a casual run. You know, we were buddying up. And she sat me down and we were talking. And she was like, oh, why don't you do this, 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 the fifth and the ninth and publish it? And I was like, nah, nobody want to hear about my little childish dreams. And she was like, yeah, they do. And I was like, no, they don't. So that was a 15-minute back and forth. So the next thing you know, I think it was maybe about a month later, I had put it all together and I had the poetry of my life ready to go.
There we go. So first shout out to Miss Audra Upchurch, certainly a friend of the show, and ladies
definitely
that have been to my pop-ups. She's been a panelist and Facebook Live correspondent and all that. So we love Audra Upchurch. Over here on the Charlotte Mitchell Radio Show. So isn't it, you know, don't you think more people need somebody like Audra to kind of affirm that, yes, there's somebody that wants to read what you have to say?
Definitely. And the reason I say that is because when I started writing, we're talking about the poetry of my life being from my early ages up until my mid-30s. I didn't publish it until I was 40, in my mid-40s. So that was all those years of silence that nobody got to a chance to hear about. And now I'm in the poetry of my life. It's like, oh my gosh, for real? I remember when. And that's the type of response that I get. So everybody needs somebody to sit down and say, look, I know it was hard and I know it was you, but come on, let's share this with the world. And that's what she did. And yes, everybody does need somebody to just give them that extra, you can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. And so where can listeners pick up a copy of The Poetry of My Life?
Well, The Poetry of My Life and Gathering the Pieces, which is my second book of poetry, both are available on Amazon. And you can go to Michelle Mickey Jones on Amazon.com and pick both of those up anytime you get ready, like right now. Like while you're listening, you got two devices. Go for it.
Go for it. Go for it.
Go for
it. Okay, good. And so you have that. And so certainly want to talk about, you know, how you've had the ability to survive the past 18 years with lupus, and you are encouraging and supporting and inspiring others, you know, who may have been diagnosed to help them understand, you know, how they can thrive with this disease, which can be debilitating. And so when did you first, find out, you know, about lupus, and how did you get yourself together to live with this disease?
Oh, my gosh. I went to the doctor because I was feeling, like, really ugly. And when I say ugly, people, I don't mean to generalize, but lupus survivors know what it means. Fibromyalgia survivors, rheumatoid arthritis survivors know what it means to feel ugly. There's nothing really wrong with you. You just feel ugly. You don't want to move. You don't want to be touched. You don't want to do. Everything hurts. The life, air feels like a weight. And I couldn't shake the feeling. And then I actually went in because I had a really bad bronchial attack. And my asthma was kicking up. So they did all these blood tests. And then they was like, that don't look good. My ANA numbers were wrong. And my rheumatoid numbers, my RA numbers were just way off the chart. And my allergies were just uncontrollable. So you, when you get diagnosed with lupus, they have to take in all of these factors, and then they start eliminating things. And when they began to eliminate the natural arthritis and the natural fibromyalgia, we came back with lupus. And that, oh my gosh, that sent me into a scare. I immediately called my grandma. I was crying, and she was like, girl, are you finished crying yet? And I'm like, well, what are we going to do? She was like, first we're going to pray, and then we're going to think of a plan. And
yeah.
From that particular point on, it was just straight figure it out, research it, talk to other people, figure it out. And actually in September will be 19 years.
Oh, wow.
So I'm not new to this. So if I say something, or I say that a drug may or may not work, or it does have an effect, it's not because I'm just guessing at it. I've actually
right.
sat down and I've tried it, and I wouldn't tell my fellow followers something that I didn't do. I'm not going to tell you to go out there and try Receiva and I ain't tried it. Not going to happen, because I want to be able to give you the side effects of it and how it's going to affect you, so that you know whether or not you need to discuss it with your doctor. So I'm your guinea pig.
Yeah. Wow, like you said, you're not new to this. This is
mm-mm.
something that you've lived and experienced with. And so you've also written about this journey as well. And so talk a little bit about that, you know, that journal and what you've written about lupus.
Well, in the journal, it's very basic. It's a bunch of inspiration, because every single day I know that I needed to be inspired. So what the journal is, and it's a tracking for you. It's a book for the survivor to just write it down. Of course, I'm going back to my writing. And since writing was my release, I know that it helps to write it down, how you're feeling today. And because lupus is such an individualized disease, it affects everyone differently. Not everybody's symptoms are going to be the same. Not even your symptoms are going to be the same. So you may wake up one day and you're experiencing a mild pain here, but then you may wake up in two or three more days after that and you're getting bruising over here, but you can't figure out because you didn't bump anything. You need to write that down so that when you go back to your doctor, you can say, look, on, you know, a couple of days out of this month, these strange things happened to me. And they can run more tests. And it's all about testing. They can run more tests, do more blood work, and search for other things. Because lupus is a mask for other diseases. So someone with rheumatoid arthritis will not develop lupus, but someone with lupus will develop rheumatoid arthritis. So you need to have a log of what your symptoms are and how you're feeling. And because it's an incurable disease, you go into a depression, and that's what we want to help you not do. So we give you that inspiration. You know, you wake up today, you are worth it. You are beautiful.
Yeah.
You are worthy, because your hair falls out. Your skin turns colors. You get blisters from the sun. These things happen to you that make you feel ugly. Because you look at yourself in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, why am I bald headed in spots? Or why is my skin turning color in places? So this journal is that help that will help you stay out of depression and to keep you up on noticing and recognizing your triggers.
Well, this is definitely needed, definitely needed. Tell listeners how they can get a hold of the journal.
The journal is available in the same place as Gathering the Pieces and Poetry of My Life. It's on Amazon.com, and you just type in, you can even type in Lupus Journal, and it'll come up. There'll be several, and mine is the one with the pretty pink butterfly and my name on it. You can go directly there, or you can contact me. I keep them because I actually give them out in the community. I don't always sell them. Now, if you're not in my immediate area, of course, I can't give it to you, so I would appreciate if you buy it. But for those
right.
that I know that are newly diagnosed in my community, that's my gift to them.
Oh, giving back. Thank you for that. Thank you for not kind of crawling under a rock and saying, you know what, I have this, I got to deal with it, I can't think of anybody else, but you're reaching back and reaching around to help someone else. So again, listeners, if you just tuned in, you just peeked in here, we're chatting it up here, Michelle with one L. Mickey Jones is our author spotlight, and so we're excited that you're here. If you're hanging out at Charvette.com, there, her full bio is there for you. We've also tagged her on Facebook. Facebook.com/Charvette is my page, and you can see all of that. And so let's jump into this new release just days ago. Became an Amazon bestseller in six categories. And so Unchained My Legacy is an anthology that is, featuring several other authors. And so in general, just tell us in general kind of what the gist of the book is about.
The gist of the book, because it is an anthology, it's about 12 women who experience some type of situation in their lives that they felt empowered to tell, to be released from, that helped them to grow into the person that they are. So when you talk about being unchained, you talk about loosing the bonds that have held you to your past. And in the book, all 12 of us in our chapters take a moment to discuss how to break, how to release, and how to be free from the stigma of pain and hurt and depression and those taboo subjects that we just, some of us refuse to talk about. So the Unchained My Legacy is all encompassing. So if you need to own your stuff, if you need to talk about your mother-daughter relationships, if you need to talk about wealth and finance, if you need to talk about past relationships, whatever that issue is that you're dealing with, you'll find you in there. And if not you, 6 degrees of separation works. Somebody you know going to be in there.
Somebody you know is going to be there and is touched by the content of Unchained My Legacy. And so specifically, if we think about your chapter contribution, Monster in Their Eyes. This title kind of grabs you. So what is a high-level synopsis of your chapter?
A high-level synopsis of my chapter. Well, let's see. The short and skinny of it is that, one, I have to give thanks to my daughters, because I could not have written my chapter without their permission. So I have to thank them for that, because even though I was telling my story, it involved a piece of their story. And if they had not been in a place that they were ready to have that cover pulled back on, then I would have to go on a different route. But the title is exactly what it is, and everybody knows what a monster is, so, you know, exactly what you see that monster to be is exactly what I became in their eyes, that evil, scary, uncontrollable, terrifying person. And I had this aura or stranglehold on their growth, so I stifled them in fear. So when I was able to not be that monster, they were able to be free. So they were able to sweep the stuff from underneath of their bed and literally sweep it up and throw it out in the trash. So when you talk about being a monster in their eyes, it's a journey. It begins with my journey on how I became a monster, period. And then it evolves into when I became that monster in their eyes. And they are my daughters.
Well, we salute your daughters for being strong enough to say, yep, you know what, you can tell the truth. you know, you can write the truth. There are people who would love to write. I was talking to someone last weekend, and they have just their life story is very, would be something that would really, really bless people. But the challenge is doing it in a way that doesn't hurt people's feelings or,
mm-hmm.
they're struggling with, how do I tell my story and other people are involved in the story.
Way. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. No,
I understand that.
Struggling with that. Mm-hmm.
That's very understandable because there are other people involved in this, and I'm not trying to throw shade on anybody. It's just that you happen to be involved in that particular part of my life, and I couldn't tell that story without telling a part of how you affected that. So I understand the whole thing about not wanting to tell it because you don't want to hurt people. Or you don't want to embarrass people. I mean, I struggled with that too. But the fact that I wanted my daughters to live a healthy life outweighed all of that.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So you have to you have to make that choice on whether or not you want your family to be healed or whether or not you want to keep that secret. And that's all it boils down to.
That's what it boils down to. Unchain My Legacy. Listeners, you know you need to grab a copy of Unchain My Legacy. And so how can listeners pick up a copy?
Now, Unchain My Legacy is available at michelle.unchainmylegacy.com. And that is Michelle with one L. So it's michelle.unchainmylegacy, all one word, .com.
All right, there you have it. And actually, there is an event that is coming up, Candid Conversations with the authors of Unchain My Legacy. You want to talk a little bit about that and give us like the who, what, when, and where?
Yes, that is an event that's coming up actually in about 3 weeks, July the 28th, here in the Hampton Roads area. It'll be here in Chesapeake. So even if you're not from Hampton Roads, you are surely welcome to come on down. And you can purchase your tickets. $30 includes your book, the discussion, and your light refreshments. And, you know, we don't do light well. We ain't serving chicken, but light as well. And then you can participate, and you'll have 6 authors. It'll be myself, Janika Joyner, Tanya Moore, Maya Lynn, Tyranny Parker, and Vita Green. Those are our local Hampton Roads area authors that are in the book Unchain My Legacy. And we'll be there having a candid discussion with you about what we've written for you. So that'll be July the 28th, and those tickets are available for Eventbrite, and I can put the link inside of somewhere for you.
All right, and Facebook. We're going to keep this Facebook thread
going.
Yeah, I can
put it in Facebook.
Yes. So facebook.com/Charvette. Guys, you can follow over there. And if you're in the area, connect with them. South Norfolk Memorial Library in Chesapeake, Virginia.
Yes.
And so you can be a part of the candid conversations with the authors. We actually had Tanya on the show last week. And so
Yes,
and so everybody brings something different to the table. And so there's one thing I definitely want to point out. You briefly mentioned, running marathons. And so you are an avid runner, so someone who's living successfully, with lupus. You are an avid runner, and you've completed 5 half marathons and numerous 10K, 8K, and 5K races. How do you prepare for that?
Oh, wow. I'm a cold runner, so what that means is that I like the cool of the day, so I'm either up early in the morning or I'm late in the afternoon when the sun is going down, because, again, I run with lupus, so that's better for my body, because the sun, I'm photosynthetic, So the sun blisters me and bruises me, so I really can't be out in the sun. But I use my Nike app. I use Endomondo. For one, I had a personal trainer. I had a personal trainer that did weight. We did weight training. Did full body workouts. So I know what my triggers are, so I know how much time I can spend and dedicate to the training portion that goes to running a half marathon. I hydrate, I eat right, and I sleep. Those are all key
right,
factors,
listen.
Not only to running, but to run more better.
Oh, my goodness. I had to shout that out. I had to shout that out, that you, you know, you have lupus, but you're running, you know, so the rest of us, we got to get our lives together. We got to get our lives together. So, again, listeners, if you just peeked in, if you just jumped into the show, you're just listening in to the podcast, wherever you are in the world, thank you for tuning in. Yep, we're chatting it up here. Michelle Mickey Jones, co-author in the newly released, now Amazon best-selling in six categories, book anthology, Unchain My Legacy. So go check it out, check her out. And so the goal of the show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we'd love to hear, you know, what just continues to motivate you.
Really, what continues to motivate me now is my clarity of purpose.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I am clear on who and what and for what reasons I'm doing what I'm doing, I can stay focused, I can stay clear, and I will be able to motivate that next person to motivate that next person. So if I lose focus, then I lose my purpose. So once I begin to understand that it's not even really my purpose that I'm serving, I'm here to serve others, and I'm doing it according to God's will, I'm good. I that's my clarity. So I take my soul to church. I sit my soul down to pray. I sit my soul down to be quiet so I can hear what he has to say to me in order to make that purpose happen. So that's my motivation.
That's good. And you know what? We can't add anything to that, and we can't and we won't take anything away from that. And so, Michelle, I know our listeners are interested in finding out how they can connect with you on social media. So how can they do that?
I am, of course, on Facebook, and you'll type in Michelle's Writings, Michelle's with an S, MichelleSWritings, all those S's. So that's on Facebook, and, of course, you can put in Lupus365 to get connected to my online lupus support and caregivers community. On Twitter, I am BeingMVI, BeingMV as in Victor, I as in inspiration. And the same as with Instagram and IGTV, it is michelle.beingmvi.365. And of course, my website is Sisters Keeper, and that's SISTASKEEPR.com.
All right. All of the connection points. Thank you so much again, and listeners, all of them. And if you're hanging out at charvette.com listening in, you can see Michelle's full bio there and a link to her website. So that'll get you wherever you need to go. And so, Michelle, thank you so much for stopping by the show. We are excited that we got to feature another one of the authors, co-authors in Unchain My Legacy, and we wish you much more continued success.
Thank you very much, and thank you to your listeners. I truly, truly appreciate the opportunity.
All right. You are welcome. All right, listeners, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our second segment. My guest is hanging out in the virtual green room, so I hope she is enjoying some virtual salad and chicken and some virtual tea while she's in the virtual green room, ready to come up for our second segment. which is a segment that we do periodically called Influential Women in Ministry. And we featured people like Dr. Cindy Trim, Dr. Medina Pullins, Chief Apostle Olive C. Brown, First Lady Wasiola Evans, Co-Pastor Susie Owens, the list goes on. And so we're honored and delighted to feature Assistant Pastor Roz Brown in this upcoming segment. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. Don't you move. Matter of fact, jump on social media and say, hey, I'm listening to and I'm checking out the Charvette Mitchell radio show. You should come over and join us, okay? We're going to be right back after this quick commercial break.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123 Job Zone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
Industry Buzz with 3Zs.com. Join in today on the movement to bring integrity back to media. With one click of a button, you can disseminate your information right from Industry Buzz to all your favorite social sites like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and to your email contact. Maximize your vision today. Plus, get the latest news, entertainment, and media. Need fashion or makeup tips? Looking for a job? Connect with us today. Want to connect with other business visionaries? Connect with us today. This site is for everyone, from teens to music lovers, from businessmen and women, industry professionals, and performers. As a member of Industry Buzz with 3Z, you'll gain help promoting your vision. Industry Buzz with 3Zs will expose, expand, and keep your fan base up to date with all your happening. Members also receive free or discounted perks from various sponsored companies. So join the social network. Expand and stabilize your business. Connect with like-minded individuals. Need an artist to minister at your upcoming event? Look on Industry Buzz. Have a voice and submit your article to our e-magazine. Industry Buzz with 3Zs is the place to globalize your vision. Establish it today. Be heard. It's all on IndustryBuzzWith3Zs.com.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out mitchell-productions.com or find them at facebook.com/mitchellproductions.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back again. Thank you so much for all of those that are tuning in and checking us out here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, whether you're listening in from Charvette.com, iTunes, my mobile app, our broadcast stations, or any of our social media sites. We thank you so much. We're rolling right in to our second segment, and I am preparing to bring up to the mic right now our featured guest in the Influential Women in Ministry segment, and it is Assistant Pastor Roslyn Brown. Her official Executive Assistant Pastor installation is this coming Saturday in Richmond, Virginia, but you're going to get a behind-the-scenes, behind-the-pulpit interview right now. I'm going to our mic now, and we are live with Assistant Pastor Roz Brown. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. How are you, Charvette?
I am doing well. How are you doing today?
Okay.
I can hear you.
Good.
Yes.
I'm just trying to make sure you can hear me. I'm good. I'm good. All is well. I won't complain. It's a busy week, but we're getting through it.
Yes. Well, I'm glad we had a chance to grab you. I know this week is really, really busy for you, but we wanted to make sure our listeners knew about you, and I had an opportunity to hear about the installation. But I want to go back in time a little bit. So certainly you are, you know, birthed in, out of legacy, father, a bishop, mother, chief apostle, grandmother, bishop and pastoring. And so when, as you were growing up, did you just assume, okay, I just have to do something in ministry, or did it feel like you could make the choice?
You know, growing up, it was, you know, it was all I knew, you know, growing up in the church, growing up with pastors, with parents as pastors and leaders, organizational leaders and ministry leaders. Honestly, it was all I knew. So, you know, when it's all you know, it's all you taught, it's what you have a passion for or what you develop a passion for, because, you know, you see your family do it. I guess it's no different than being born in the house of doctors and lawyers and mm-hmm. professors and teachers. It kind of like, you know, the apple doesn't fall, as they say, doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, when that's all you're surrounded with, you know, that's what consumes almost your everyday life. It really yeah. just becomes a part of you. And so with it becoming a part of me, I mean, it became my heart and my passion, you know, first of all, for God and for the things of God. And then as, you know, I developed my love for God and my relationship with God, I, you know, recognized that I had a passion for the Word of God. And so, you know, just growing up in that type of atmosphere, it just made it so real that this is what I was to become.
All right. And you sing as well, certainly, and many people know you for singing and being a worshiper and a psalmist. And so what came first? And, you know, are you considered a worshiper that preaches or preacher that sings?
It was like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
You know. Well, definitely, I think music came first. You know, growing up, we grew up in the children's choir at the church, and I remember being about maybe, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years old. I don't know how old, I would know. I was really young, and we were, you know, I was always singing in the children's choir, and probably around that age, around 6 or 7 or so, is when our beloved Sister Mazarine Williams, that used to work with the children and used to, you know, bring us all together and teach us how to sing and teach us our children's songs. I'll never forget, you know, her saying, you know, teaching me my first solo. And my first solo was God Gave Me a Song. And I just remember being, you know, wanting to do it, but I was so nervous and so scared. And but from that moment of me singing, you know, that first song, and even just singing in the choir in itself and being a part of, you know, the children's music, I, you know, quickly realized that it was just something I loved. So I think from that point on, music became a, you know, a drawing card. It became such a heart, you know, such so much of my heart, and I just wanted to listen to music morning, noon, and night, like it was records, you know, listening to records, buying music, listening to the radio. I don't want to go too far off, so you just pull me in when I go too far.
Oh, you're fine.
But I remember, you know, my memory goes back as early as being a, you know, probably a toddler to, a, you know, growing up as an early childhood, where growing up in the home, not only my parents' home, but in my grandparents' home, my grandmother, Bishop Annie Chamberlain, growing up in her house, like they didn't watch TV back then. So mm-hmm. because they didn't have TVs in the home, it was like morning, noon, and night, 24 hours a day. It was the radio. So it was listening to radio music all day and all night. And I just remember, like, I have memory of the old console stereo, and I think it was WDYL or something like that. I think that was like a FM station, which just both types of music, you know, Christian, you know, different types of music as far as different types of ministries, I guess what I'm trying to say, meaning basically white music, Christian music, and
yes.
African-American style, cross-cultural, that's what I wanted to say, cross-cultural
yes.
music. So I listen to that all the time, you know, and that not only developed my love for Christian music, but it diversified my love for music. So where it broadened me, you know, but
mm-hmm.
also with that radio, that console stereo playing all night long and all day long, even listening to Pastor Susie Wright's daddy, Bishop Wright, Pastor Samuel Wright,
yeah.
listening to him on late night radio, you know, midnight gospel. But then also listening to, like, Billy Graham and the different family Bible hours. And I remember, you know, that there would be hours where it was like Bible story time. And my grandmother would buy Bible story records. And so I would listen to Bible. And I was just like, you're bringing up so much. I guess the conversation is bringing back so many memories. But I was
good.
Like fascinated by those Bible stories. And so from listening to the Bible studies stories on the radio and listening to the different preachers that would preach on the radio, and even on the, I think the AM stations would go off like about sundown, you know.
Yeah.
So then they would flip over to the FM stations and the different churches in Richmond, you know, and being fascinated with the fact that my grandmother was, you know, an African-American woman preacher in the city on the radio, you know, so with the
yeah.
radio broadcast and all of that. It was just incredible, you know. And so I think, you know, parts of those things from my childhood has played a major part in developing me in my music as well as my ministry, you know, preaching ministry.
Absolutely. I love that background, and everybody doesn't get opportunity to hear that
yeah.
or know that. And so then time goes on, and then you accept, you know, the call of preaching and
mm-hmm.
and ministering, and you know, have evangelized all over the world, you know, internationally
Amen.
And domestically. And you know, what is the experience like, you know, as an evangelist? You know, what is that experience like of being able to go, you know, into various churches and bring the word of God?
Oh, man, it's nothing that compares to it. It really isn't. And, you know, I started preaching, you know, I think in like 85, I believe. I think I was like 19 when I started preaching. And, you know, God just began opening doors. Even at an early age, I was, you know, being invited to different churches around the city to be on youth programs and just being opportunity to speak at different events for our church. But, you know, I guess a lot of that opportunity, I'm grateful for my parents' ministry, as far as being leaders in a national organization, which at that time was Mount Sinai Churches of America. I got to travel, you know, all of my entire
yeah.
life from, you know, being a child to conventions across the length and breadth of the United States, from the upper, you know, upper northern states to out west to California to Boston and to you know, Buffalo, New York, Detroit, Michigan,
yes.
And then going to, you know, California and having experiences like going, we would, you know, during the week and during the day get to go on tours and stuff to visit like Hollywood and different things like that when we would go to those different cities. But it gave me experience as a child or at a young age of, you know,
right.
being able to minister. A lot of times ministering, my dad, you know, I think when my dad first got married, he was pastoring still in Florida in the early years. And he would go back and forth to Florida, still preaching in Florida when he first got married, living in Richmond and traveling to Florida. And then later on, you know, they pastored in Kinston, North Carolina. Well, then, you know, those experiences being with them, I think my first trip out of the quote-unquote country was traveling with my mom and Bishop Donnie Graves and some of the others that went on that tour to Bermuda. And so I got to travel there to a, it was like a tent, I think it was like a tent revival. I probably was about 12 or so when I first got to my first, I guess, considered international travel. And it was like tent crusades, you know, in Bermuda or out in, on the island. And it was phenomenal. I got to sing and, you know, got to, you know, be a part of the ministry there. And then later on, God just, you know, started opening doors for me ministry-wise, and I just began to travel, and, you know, those doors led to other doors for several years. Earlier in ministry, when I was married, I started traveling with Prophet Nathan Simmons, and that was an experience because that opened doors for tent meetings and like crusade meetings. So that gave me like behind the scenes experience for crusades and conferences and stuff like that. And you know, just so many. And then, you know, being able to travel to, like, I think one of the most incredible experiences has been, you know, in 1999 when I was afforded the opportunity to do revival in Cuba. And was during a time where, you know, we weren't allowed into Cuba. And but I was afforded that opportunity through a friend, Evangelist Connie Milton, and her husband that were, he was in the military. And I was invited over to do the revival on the base there in Cuba, in Guantanamo Bay. And so that was just an absolutely incredible experience. And just so many others have just been exciting, rewarding. And a few years ago, I went to Turks and Caicos, and I ministered over there in revival. And that was just rewarding work mixed with pleasure, because you just, you know, it's one thing to be able to preach, but it's another thing to be able to preach, you know, in these island places that are just like, oh, you know, the ultimate vacation and tourism.
Oh, the water's so blue.
So, oh my God, just unimaginable. But so, you know, it's been blessed. It's exciting,
it's been blessed. And I mean, so years and years, listeners, you can hear just years and years of ministry experience. If you just tuned in, hey, you are checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're here in our Influential Women in Ministry segment featuring Assistant Pastor Roslyn Brown, affectionately known as Elder Roz, to a lot of you that may be listening in. And so just wanted to share, you know, that background that you kind of just didn't jump off of the turnip truck, as they say, yesterday. So now we're here, and it's this point in time and in this point in transition for your official executive assistant pastor installation that is coming up this coming Saturday, July 7th, 12 noon, listeners, the installation service and dinner. And so tell us a little bit about, you know, who's going to be there and all what we can expect to experience.
Well, you know, it's just, I'm still in awe because this appointment to become the assistant pastor titled, you know, Executive Assistant Pastor of New Jerusalem International Christian Ministries, I am just still like, it still like seems like a dream because I just didn't expect it, and I just definitely didn't expect it when it happened. But I am so grateful for the leadership of my brother, Bishop Joel Vincent Brown, who is our senior pastor, and he is, you know, our vice bishop of the International Christian Ministries. But he's also my little brother, and I love him so much. But, you know, I'm so grateful, you know, for what God has done in and through him in ministry and the leadership that he has just carried this ministry over the past, I think, like 14 years. But I just did not expect that Sunday morning when he took that mic and made the statement that I felt like I fell off the turnip truck or whatever the truck is. people have asked me so many years, are you going to pastor? Well, when are you going to pastor? I'm like, look, yeah. I'm an evangelist, you know. I'm comfortable where I am. You know, I don't have to, you know, all my brothers are bishops. And they, you know, gracefully walked in that calling, but I just felt like, you know, I'm good, you know, where I am.
Yeah.
I do what I do. But when he said that, you know, it just was an utter shock but yet an honor. And so I'm excited that we're getting ready for the weekend and the installation services. And I'm getting, you know, getting ready for the shift. But at the same time, with Bishop Joel being who he is, I think it was probably within a matter of days that he already started handing off from making the announcement. He said, well, can you do this? So, well, what are you doing Wednesday night? Can I get ready to go on vacation? I was like,
right.
You just made the announcement. We haven't even gotten installed. So he, you know, but it's at the same time, it's work that I've been doing. It's just a title now be officially going into the title of the pastoral role. And, you know, even though I'm shifting from elderized to pastorized, it's just it's the work that I've, you know, been doing all along and even been doing as a child or young, you know, as in my younger years. Church, you know, doing the church work, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, it's now the promotion and the title that comes with it. It's exciting. So this weekend, we're going to be at First Baptist Church on Iron Bridge Road at 12 noon. For the installation services, where my brother, Bishop Joel Brown, and my mother, who is our founder of New Jerusalem, was formerly founded by my grandmother, Jerusalem Holy Churches, they will be installing, if the Lord be willing, and as they say, if the creek don't rise.
If the creek don't rise.
they will be installing and officiating the services. And I am honored that for the past 7 years, it's crazy, but it doesn't seem like that long, I have been living pretty much in Lynchburg, Virginia, and kind of having a dual residency between Lynchburg and Richmond. And I've just really been blessed to be a part of and fellowship and great relationship with Bishop S.Y. Younger in Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yeah.
And when we started talking about a homilist sharing a homily word for the installation, I said, well, Bishop, I asked Bishop Joel, what do you think about Bishop Younger? He said, I think that would be great, you know. And then I reached out to Bishop Younger, and I value his integrity, because he was not quick to say yes. He, you know, wanted to pray about it, and you know, and then he came back and he sat me with some questions to make sure I was really ready for this calling and this next level and next dimension. And he didn't just say yes right away, and he didn't call me back until he said, Elder, he actually was in Canada when he called me, and I think he was in the middle of in between a wedding celebration. He was a part of a wedding, and I was between the wedding, and he said, God has given me the release. And during that celebration, he got away for about 20 minutes or so and called me and explained to me that now that he was released, he knew. And so I just, you know, I'm excited. The Ramp Church Choir, some of the choir will be down, and they'll be sharing their music. New Jerusalem worship and music team. We have special guest Tia Cherie, Tia Rudd from Wilmington, Delaware. She'll be coming in phenomenal. And many other friends and pastors and ministers from around the country that have said they're going to join us. And then after the fellowship, after the installation, we have a celebration banquet, a celebration dinner. I won't say banquet because it's not like, you know, fancy banquet, but it'll be after
right.
the service. And if you have not gotten tickets, we invite you. We still have tickets available. And we really, really, really want those of you that can and will to just join us in the fellowship dinner afterwards. The tickets are $50, and we have a few on sale. You can contact the church office. You can contact me. You can contact Elder Charvette. And
yes.
and we can get those. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting. I
yes.
talk a lot, Charvette.
Oh, no, you're good. This is. Listen, I always tell people it is always easy to interview preachers and pastors. It makes my job easy. I never have a problem interviewing preachers and pastors. You all keep the flow going. So that it helps me. So listeners,
I thank God for you. Let me just say, I really, really, really thank God for you and for your business and for your ministry and for the gift that God has given you with this platform and with your web design. And I thank God for your patience, because Lord knows you've been patient with me. But you know, the other day I thought about it. I said, Chavez has been trying to work with me, get my website and stuff together. But little did I know when we first start working on things that my whole entire focus of ministry was going to shift. And what it would have been a couple of months ago, it's probably going to shift to a whole different, you know, angle just with the
exactly.
new promotion. So I was like, even though I take a responsibility of just trying to get it together, I think God knew what he was doing. And now, you know, for where it's going to be able to, you know, share now. But I thank God for you, and I love what you're doing, and you're just such an inspiration media-wise and you know, with social media as well as the internet and that type of exposure and sharing in general. You're a blessing. So I just want to
thank you. Thank you. And so, listeners, if you missed anything that we said, just go hang out on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. I have tagged Pastor Roz. I've also shared, it's a hot pink and gold flyer that has all the information.
Yay.
So Saturday, July 7th, yes, 12 noon, First Baptist Church, and that's the Iron Bridge Road location, so 6201 Iron Bridge Road. There's plenty of seating, you know, so be there, get there. Attire, should we let them know about any special attire?
Those that are clergy are in civic attire. Those that want to, you know, be a part of the attire, but as for everyone else, it's just church attire. But those that are in clergy, they ask that they, if possible, they would be in civic attire.
All right. That's good. Okay. And so the last question I have for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I think what continues to motivate me is two things. One, my love for God and the love he has for me. The fact that he loved me in spite of me is motivation for me each and every day. And then secondly, it's, you know, seeing lives change. I'm motivated to do what I do, to strive to be a better me, to strive to, you know, do more every day, because I want to see lives change. I want to, you know, my desire to help people, my desire to love people, and my desire to preach love to the lost, you know. That's my motivation.
Amen. Well said. Well, thank you so much for just spending a few minutes with us on this busy week, and certainly we will see you this weekend, and just thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It was amazing, and I bless God again for you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And come see us this week. I don't want to do it without you, so come hang out with us on this weekend.
Awesome.
And
thank
Sunday
you,
night,
thank
special,
you.
We're celebrating 26
years.
Oh, yes. We begin our well, this is our 26th anniversary weekend. We did a year of celebration for the 25th since last, but we're doing one big celebration for our 26th. So this is the 26th anniversary weekend. So Saturday, Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening at 5, Bishop Ezekiel Williams. So join us. It's New Jerusalem 26th anniversary as well as the installation.
Absolutely, and that information, NJICM.com. Listeners, and I'll share, you'll see it on my page, because this is my church.
Church,
so you'll see that. But if you're listening remotely and just want to go to NJICM.com, all of the information for all of the weekend's events and convocation coming up and all of that is all there on our main website, so. We appreciate you. Thank you so much, Pastor Roz. We'll be seeing you this weekend.
Thank you, Charvette. All right. Be blessed.
All righty. Thank you. All right, listeners, that wraps up another edition of the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. As always, you can jump back to our main website, charvette.com, and check out any of our past interviews. And if you missed a part of today's interview, you can just jump over to charvette.com, and you can be caught up. Yep, you can be caught up. You can be caught up on everything we have going on. So we appreciate you always. Thank you for listening. Let me just say that to you. Thank you for listening. Have an amazing week and holiday. Peace and love.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you've been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Catch Charvette Mitchell every Tuesday at 6 p.m. interviewing all the stars you want to hear from. So until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. This is the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.